15. Over the course of the trial, Dr. Nanette Rogers had often provided the courtroom with a dash of colour, sometimes a scarf or a skirt, perhaps a pair of shoes. It had allowed her to carry herself with an engaging air of whimsy, but a whimsy that never stole the spotlight from the sharpness of her work. When she rose to her feet on the morning of Tuesday, the 10th of June, however, Nanette had no whimsy about her at all. She had not enjoyed being caught off guard, and before she had even uttered a word, we could sense that the resources of Victoria Police and the Office of Public Prosecutions had kicked into gear the afternoon before, doggedly pursuing their task and seizing all the information she had required. Now to business. If catching Nanette off guard had amused Erin, Erin was about to receive a dose of the same medicine. How would she like to be caught off guard? "Miss Patterson," Nanette began, calmly enough, "you told this jury that you had a pre-surgery appointment for gastric bypass surgery booked in early September with the Enrich Clinic in Melbourne." "Yes." "I want to put some things to you about that and ask you if you agree or disagree." The headmistress was questioning Erin's homework, and the headmistress already knew the answers. We were only a minute into the day, and it was sounding menacing. "The first is, does the Enrich Clinic offer services in cosmetic dermatology? Agree or disagree?" Erin hesitated. "I don't know." "The Enrich Clinic is located on Howard Street, South Yarra. Agree or disagree?" Erin frowned, genuinely puzzled. "That's not the one I had a booking with." But Nanette was on a roll. She was in no mood to bother with trifling details. "You had an appointment scheduled for 11 a.m. on the 13th of September 2023, leaving aside the location of the clinic." That sounds right." Unbeknown to both Erin and Nanette at the time, the Enrich Clinic had indeed moved premises. It had been in Armidale. It was now in South Yarra. But Nanette wasn't waiting to clarify that. "You cancelled your appointment on the 11th of September 2023. Agree or disagree?" "That'd be about right, yes." "That appointment was with Miss Isabella Eng. Agree or disagree?" "I don't know." "Miss Isabella Eng is a registered nurse. Agree or disagree?" "I don't know." The accusatory forces had circled the enemy, and we could all sense that a coup de grace was coming. "The Enrich Clinic does not offer gastric bypass surgery or gastric sleeve surgery. Agree or disagree?" There it was. Erin blinked. Her grip on the dock rail tightened. That hurt. "I don't know." "The Enrich Clinic does not conduct assessments relating to gastric bypass surgery. Agree or disagree?" "I don't know, but I'm a bit puzzled." "In what way?" Nanette snapped. "Well, that was... I had an appointment with them, and that's what my memory was for, so that's why I'm puzzled." "Your appointment at the Enrich Clinic had nothing to do with gastric bypass surgery. Agree or disagree?" "Well, it would have been related to weight loss surgery. Perhaps it was a different procedure I was doing through them." Erin needed time, which she didn't have. To maintain any credibility, she had to parry fast. "And I was looking into liposuction as well." Was that a save? Given how suddenly the tables had turned, Erin could only hope. "When you gave sworn evidence to this jury that you had a pre-surgery appointment for gastric bypass surgery booked in for early September with the Enrich Clinic in Melbourne, that was a lie. Agree or disagree?" "No, it wasn't a lie. That was what my memory was." Nanette moved on, but over the lunch break, police supplied the prosecution and the defence with physical copies of the Enrich Clinic's file on Erin Patterson, which they had just obtained from the practice manager. It included all of Erin's clinical records, which turned out to be rather slim. Erin had also been given a copy. After lunch, Nanette resumed hostilities. First, She went through the formalities of confirming that Aaron had read that document and understood its contents. No questions about its provenance? All perfectly clear? Good. Now that you've had a chance to see and review that material, do you accept that the Enrich Clinic does not offer and has never offered gastric bypass surgery? Aaron had no comeback. It was there in black and white. Yes. Secondly, do you accept that the Enrich Clinic does not offer and has never offered pre-surgery assessments relating to gastric bypass surgery? I do. And thirdly, do you accept that the Enrich Clinic only conducts examinations and procedures relating to the skin and its appendages, such as hair and nails? I do. It had been a remarkable turnaround. What had been pitched to us, the jury, as an appointment to discuss an extremely invasive practice, namely gastric bypass surgery, was now looking like a discussion about wrinkles and ingrown toenails. Thank you. I've finished with that, if you want to put it away. Aaron was very happy to put it away. But Nanette hadn't finished. She was a woman who had reached the end of her tether. She could no longer tolerate Aaron's selective memory and loose grip on the truth. Aaron had made her look unprepared and foolish. On Aaron's health issues, Nanette had clearly decided she wanted nothing more left to chance. Therefore, during the lunch break, Steve Eppingstall had been asked to collate one final group of statistics that would cover all bases. A year previously, police had collected every single medical record of Aaron's from the 1st of January 2023 till the 8th of August 2023, during which time she had attended three different medical centres. Now they had sifted through every one of those records and delivered a summary to their senior Crown Prosecutor. Those records make no mention of you seeking information about a gastric bypass, do they? Nanette now asked. These were hard facts Aaron simply could not deny. That's correct. No mention of you seeking a pre-assessment for a gastric bypass? Not from any of the GPs, no. No mention of weight loss surgery? No. No mention of any weight loss treatments? Correct. Nanette was not easing up. The finish line was in sight and she was well ahead. I suggest that you never sought or obtained a referral to a specialist who could perform a gastric bypass. Do you agree? Yeah. Aaron hedged. She was clearly looking for any way to at least stay in the race, somehow. Yes, I never got anything like that from a GP, no. Child Protection also sought a copy of your medical records from Leongatha Healthcare. You understand that? Yeah, they did. And they were provided with a copy of your medical records from December 2013 to July 2023. From that one clinic, yes. And there's no mention of weight loss treatment in those records. Agreed? Apart from when I was talking to Dr. Cassie about being unhappy about my weight. This was a small correction offered by Erin. Her discussion with Dr. Zhou had been back in 2021, but it was something. It was true, and that evidence had already been presented. And that I was ashamed and embarrassed about it, yes. But I don't think I saw anyone at Leongatha Healthcare about it, no. Nanette was now finished. In two highly targeted 5-minute bursts, she had returned fire with every weapon she could bring to the fight. She had been succinct and brutal. She had done everything possible to prove that Erin's weight issues were not her real underlying medical concern at the lunch she hosted on the 29th of July. In fact, she didn't believe that Erin had any real underlying medical concern. Erin had never considered surgical intervention to overcome a crippling eating disorder. She didn't have a crippling eating disorder. It simply wasn't true that shame and embarrassment had caused her to mask her genuine medical issues with a half-baked excuse about a possible cancer scare. And with all that now proven to be nonsense, the prosecution returned to their central allegation that Erin had made up the whole cancer story to help ensure her guests would come to lunch. and once they were at lunch, Erin had been happy to give her guests the most alarming version of that story and tell them the most outrageous lie because she enjoyed receiving their love and sympathy in the moment, and she fully believed they would all die before her lie would be uncovered. Case solved, all wrapped up. Let's have a drink. That was the prosecution's position. But it wasn't impregnable. Most annoyingly, Nanette could not make the consultation notes from Dr. Cassie Joe go away, and those notes were compelling evidence that Erin's weight and associated issues had been a genuine concern for Erin. It wasn't all nonsense. There was some substance to it. And I, for one, could well understand why she wouldn't go to a normal family GP with a highly embarrassing health issue, particularly if she really had been battling bulimia and keeping it secret, from her GP as well, for years. I wouldn't do that, and I can understand why she wouldn't. You don't go to a friend in that situation. If everyone in Morwell knew my whole story, Jesus, you want someone who has never seen you before, but who can be a fantastic help to you in a crisis situation, and who will then never see you again. The fact that there was no record of Erin having any discussions about this with her local GPs, therefore, did not carry much weight, at least not with me, I'm afraid. Absence of evidence, as the cliche goes, is not evidence of absence. Which left the unexplained fact of the actual appointment with the Enrich Clinic. What had that really been about? It was a real appointment. Erin had made it. Why? What had she really been hoping they could help with? After Nanette had finished her cross-examination, Colin had one last chance to set the record straight. This protocol had applied to both sides all through the trial. One side got to call a witness, the other side could cross-examine, then the first side could re-examine, and then that was it. So the last chance for new facts to be presented or for Erin's evidence to be reshaped more favourably was in Colin's re-examination of her. Both sides had used re-examination many times in the trial because, I had come to realise, it was really there to help with oopsies. If your witness, the one you called, had been led down a rabbit hole by the other side and you wanted to bring them back on track, re-examination was where you could do it. And in this situation, that's exactly what Colin wanted to do. When Nanette finally sat down and it came to Colin's turn, he was forensic. He went back to the phone records to prove that Erin really had made a booking with Enrich. And at that time, he asked her, what services had she thought Enrich offered? I was of the understanding that they offered treatments concerning weight loss, and I believe that to be surgeries like gastric bypass and other things like liposuction and anywhere in between. Now, the records you saw confirm that you had an appointment on the 13th of September 2023, and you described that in your evidence as a pre-surgery appointment. Right. What did you mean by that? So what I meant was, I hadn't actually had an in-person consultation with Enrich yet. That was going to be my first one. And my understanding was we could discuss my needs and what treatments they could offer, what would best suit me and schedule that in. Colin was then able to point to a posting on the Enrich website that showed that Dr. Michael Rich will no longer be offering liposuction as a treatment option from 30th of June 2024, which meant clearly that it had been offered before that date. He then asked what Erin's understanding had been about the treatments offered by the Enrich Clinic in July 2023. Erin's reply was dutifully unsurprising. Well, I understood them to be offering liposuction and I also believe they offered the full range of weight loss surgery treatments, like the bypass and the sleeve. I think they're two different types of things, but yeah. And do you accept now from this material that you were mistaken about the fact that Enrich Clinic offered gastric bypass surgery? Yes, I was obviously mistaken. Yes. But at the time Erin made the booking, liposuction had been an option, and that had led her to believe they were also offering other, more invasive surgical options. It was a stretch, but nonetheless I thought it was still inside the realm of credibility. Just. If she had genuinely reached a point of desperation, had a long-term history of bulimia, and wanted to investigate professional solutions with a highly discreet, trustworthy, but impersonal organisation, I could not say it was unreasonable. After all the prosecution's diligent research and investigation, I still thought the case offered by the defence for innocent Erin could not be dismissed. So much depended on whether the picture Erin had painted of herself as a tortured, secret sufferer from bulimia was true. It was easy to dismiss, but also not. That is the nature of that condition and others like it. They are inseparable from inbuilt strategies of secrecy and deceit. That is part of what makes them tragically insidious and so hard to diagnose and treat. Erin's history still contained just enough indicators for a person like me, with my history, to consider that she might have been telling the truth. The innocent Erin explanation was still, at this moment, in play. She had had an anxious desire to arrange a family meeting and discuss how to manage the consequences that her upcoming treatment for her admittedly hidden and mysterious medical issue would cause for her children. Without yet being able to dismiss either guilty Erin or innocent Erin, it was necessary for us to move our focus now onto the events after the lunch. Beginning with what happened late that afternoon on the 29th of July 2023, after Erin had possibly wolfed down the whole of Gail's cake and then thrown up. Again, we were presented with two versions of history. In one version, guilty Erin knew exactly what she had done, but had gone to considerable effort to make sure she hadn't poisoned herself, which was perfectly understandable. Nonetheless, she also knew she had to present herself to the world with enough symptoms to convince people that wasn't the case. Guilty Erin knew she had to convince us that she had eaten her own contaminated beef Wellingtons, but the prosecution was saying there was no evidence that any of her stories about suffering from those symptoms were true. In reality, she had not been poisoned at all, because she had made sure she would not be. In the other version, the symptoms of innocent Erin were very real, and the medical evidence proved that she had also been poisoned, a little bit. But she had not eaten much and been so incredibly lucky that, while three of her guests had died and a fourth had come within a whisker of the same fate, she had miraculously escaped with only a couple of days of bad diarrhea. Nonetheless, the evidence was consistent with her having suffered a glancing blow, as it were. If the defence could prove she really had also suffered from death cap mushroom poisoning, even in a minor way, it would help enormously. Erin's strenuous assertion that it had all been a tragic accident and that she had had no idea that she had put toxic mushrooms in the beef Wellingtons hinged on her defence team being able to convince us that she had eaten the same meal as everyone else. But had she?